what do we need to do and accomplish this morning for the COVID episode first?
Brad, I think it's very important for us to just put out there, seeing as, you know, this is a very serious topic. Spotify is starting to flag these things. Joe Rogan is in a lot of heat, as you know, from our last episode. This episode was recorded several weeks ago, like the turn of the new year.
Right.
And so what we wanted to say were two things. One, we want to mention, always fact check everything. You're probably going to hear a lot of talking through our ass in this episode. Again, we are not experts. We are lovers of good user design. That's what we're talking about.
We are not lovers of COVID-19, though.
We are not lovers of COVID-19, which leads us into our second point. We joke a lot. We're going to crack jokes about everything. We are not joking about the severity of this disease. And, you know, many people have died. And I had, you know, I had an experience in my home. My daughter just recently, in the past couple of days, contracted the virus. You know, she is COVID positive. Thankfully, no one in our house. We're all negative. So that's good. And she is asymptomatic. She's just in her room laughing with all her friends on FaceTime. So, but you had your own experience with this, Brad, much more severe, unfortunately. Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone about that?
When we recorded this, my daughter would go on to test positive for COVID the next day. And it's been about 4 weeks of hell on our family. You know, she got a pretty bad case of it. She's 8 years old, fully vaxxed, respectful of mask and all that. And she was hit hard. So for 4 weeks, she was out of school for almost 4 weeks. And it was really challenging for us, for her physically, for all of us mentally, to deal with that. A lot of feelings of, you know, shame for not protecting her more fully. So what I wanted to say was that we know that everyone who's listening to this has been impacted by COVID-19, and we're no exception to that. So hopefully we're treating this with respect. And if we joke around, know that our hearts are with you. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm your host, Dave.
And not with us, as usual, is producer Joe.
Uncle Joe.
Okay.
Where are you, Joe? Uncle, we need Joe. You.
Well, he might drop in later. It's a holiday week, so Joe has been traveling, and hopefully he'll join us later. But this, of course, is a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX, user experience design, impacts us every day. And we are lovers, not experts, right, Dave?
Sweet, sweet lovers, Brad.
But not sweet experts. We started this podcast as a way that we can talk about why things were made that they are and where those design decisions might have gone off the rails. How you doing, Dave?
I'm struggling here, Brad, actually. You know, I got like some gunk in the lungs. I got a little bit of a headache, and I'm like, is this, you know, the heat being on, because I do bad with that, or the weather, or is it another opportunity to take a COVID test?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that there is something going around that would prompt those types of symptoms. I've heard about it.
Yeah. It's a bug, something.
Something. But anyway, you know, I'm sorry you're feeling bad, but we'll get into that later, because we've had our own experiences over the past few days with COVID-19. But for now, let's jump into the news. Dave, you know, it's been a slow week due to the holiday. There's not a lot of tech news happening.
Yeah.
Anything that you're tracking?
No, I mean, you know, just the sad passing of our dear Betty White. But that's not UX related. It's just sad. We should mention it. I mean, she's an America's sweetheart. We all love her.
Well, and I heard that she sold poison dope to school children. So I think that there's, you know, some mixed blessings maybe with this news. If what I'm hearing is true, what they're saying.
You are going to hell, Brad.
Have you not been paying attention? Of course I am.
In a handbasket, which is what is that? In a handbasket? Is that like dead babies? Like, who goes in a handbasket? Like, who could fit in a handbasket?
How big are these handbaskets? I feel like this is like a Jerry Seinfeld routine right? All of a sudden.
Yeah. You should have went all Jerry Seinfeld. Just do it. You know you want to do the impression.
What is the deal with these handbaskets that everyone is going to hell in? How big are these handbaskets?
There it is. There it is.
It's insane.
Be all free, right. Brad. Be free. I love it. I love it. That was brilliant.
Thanks. It's usually earlier in the morning than I am for me to bust out impressions. But
all all jokes aside, R.I.P. Rest in peace, sweet Betty White. Yeah. So I don't have much. Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever, they took away her Twitter account. We could open that up to discuss whether Twitter should be doing things like that to public officials. It's a private company. I don't understand the freedom of speech.
Yeah. Well, I think freedom of speech would be a great topic maybe for us one day as user experience.
So
misrepresented in my opinion. So Dave, we don't have to dwell on this right now. But what you just said is my take as well. Twitter is a private company. And as such, they can control what content is on their platform. This is not a freedom of speech issue.
The democracy episode is going to be great. This should be a point where this should be a moment where we stop and tell the audience that yes, this most of the times we'll focus on apps and websites and products that you have in your lives, like just things that are good, but could be great. And we just go on about the things that are bad to make them great. But every once in a while, like today's episode, which is going to be, have we said what it is?
We have
We're
not.
We're going to be talking about, Brad.
COVID-19.
So, Happy New Year, everybody. So on today's episode, we're going to branch out into the larger realm of user experience, because I think there's a lot to gain from that field, a lot to gain from that discipline. When we think about the broader scope of our lives, be it all, disease prevention, healthcare, democracy, we will touch upon those on special episodes. And, there's no better time to do it than now, since we've all been taking COVID tests this week. It's the holidays and there's a big surge in the Omicron variant, and Delta's still out there, you want to jump right into it, or should we take a break?
Sure. Let's jump right into it. David.
Hey, Brad.
I know you have a few side businesses. Is that right?
I got the hustle, baby.
Yeah. Most notably, you do unsanctioned and unlicensed spay and neutering for pets.
I do. It's mobile. I snip them, clip them, drop them. It's very fast. It's like a drive-through situation.
That is awesome. What a great business. And you also declaw kittens as a hobby, really, more than
that. You're trying to trap me there, Brad. That's very cruel. We put the little kitten nail covers is what we do. A little multicolored, glow-in-the-dark ones.
Okay.
So they don't scratch up your furniture, but we would never snip them. I'm a pet lover.
Okay, I got it. You're a pet lover, not an expert. And how do you get the word out that you do this, that you have this side hustle, just out of curiosity?
Oh, yeah, it's easy, Brad. I get into my backyard and I just howl, I just howl or meow.
Well, did you know, David, that there's a better way to get the word out about your thriving nascent business?
Than howling or meowing?
Yeah.
No way, Brad.
Have you ever heard of Squarespace? Hey, sorry to interrupt our fake ad read. I thought it was going great. But if you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just a fan, visit ourpodsucks.com. That's ourpodsucks.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I of course mean producer Joe. Ourpodsucks.com. Now back to the fake ad read currently in progress. .com.
What is that? Is that is it a converter, a translator, a voice translator, so I can speak cat or dog?
Now, come on, you're being coy.
Very coy. Yes.
People, and it doesn't have to be complicated to build a website for your business, Dave. When you are doing that unsanctioned and unlicensed spaying and neutering of pets, I highly recommend that you get a page, man.
Yeah. Question for you, Brad.
Yes, sir.
Do they write it in dog or cat language?
Now, I wouldn't recommend that you market directly to cats and dogs, Dave, because I know that they all want to kill you after, you know, you're done with them. But
what?
And they probably would, but they don't have the balls. And we're back.
Here we are.
All right,
so COVID. So
COVID-19. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that having COVID and experiencing COVID by proxy is bad UX. Dave, thoughts?
Well,
bad user
experience. I mean, it depends. You know, I mean, it would be good user experience if you got mild symptoms or no symptoms, and then you'd be developed this super immunity they're talking about, right? I mean, it's not the best experience, but it's not bad.
I suppose if you were vaccinated and still got, you know, a breakthrough infection, which happens a lot. But recognize those symptoms, tested, and then, you know, quarantined, that would be the best possible user experience, and you didn't affect anyone else. But I wouldn't say it's good.
Yeah, so we can skip over this. I think you're right. All jokes aside, it sucks, as our namesake says. I think what this episode is about is the healthcare experience. The testing experience. And yes, there's a tech element to this. We're going to talk about the apps and the websites that are involved in testing and vaccination. And Brad, you have some expert experience in this that you can mildly speak to.
A little bit, because I don't want to speak to it too much, because I don't want to be doxxed.
Right.
Again.
And it's weird, right? It's weird that, again, we'll have to talk about that. Yeah, it's weird because you think of like doxxing, that could be a whole episode. Like what? Sure. People can get like, I don't want to use the word triggered. God, that's such a loaded word. People can just get fired up about anything, right? Sure. You know,
On either side, like, and you and I are both definitely capable of getting fired up as well.
Absolutely, and we should say we have our political opinions, and we try to keep them out of here unless it's common sense related. You know, I'm always going to be on the common sense party. So if you're not making common sense, yeah, we're going to call you out. But yeah, it's weird how people can get all fired up about the weirdest things, and then take people out online. But so yeah, let's get into it. What do you want to start with first?
Well, there's a few components that we can talk about, and I think the first is, you know, pretty tactile. We can talk about testing. So again, we're coming out of the Christmas break, the holiday break. You know, yesterday was New Year's Day, just to date this podcast a little bit. And my experience is that a whole lot of people have been using rapid antigen testing over the past couple of weeks as we've been exposed to people and family. In my experience, you know, I skipped last Christmas, which was a bit of a joy, but here nor there.
Does your family listen to this podcast?
They understand. They know my thoughts on the matter. This year I went home, and so we did, my family, my wife and my daughter and I, we did rapid antigen testing just about every day. And in addition to that, we also were very cautious in who we were exposed to.
Every day.
Almost every day, not quite every day. So
it sounds like an oversell.
I'm overstating a little bit.
Let's call it every other day.
Okay. All right. More than that, but less than every day, somewhere in between. Okay. So we did these rapid antigen tests quite a bit. So I've done.
So your nostrils are sore.
I guess like I've done 8 to 10 of these over the last couple of weeks.
Wow.
Seriously.
Really? Where are you finding them?
Well, finding them is, you know, part of the bad UX experience.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of people have been struggling.
You can't find them because you're using all of them.
Well, I suppose
Brad's fault.
They do have limits for how much you can purchase at the drugstore.
Okay.
So I've never, you know, exceeded that, you know. So
okay.
I feel like I've, you know, done my part, and, you know, I've been sharing the test with my family. And everything. Now,
did you buy the bulk of them prior to this Omicron surge, or did you buy them in the midst of it?
Both. I've been using them. My family's been using them for the past probably couple of months as news of Omicron has, you know, kind of got out there. And, you know, we've really recognized that we're not out of the woods on this thing. So I have been doing this for the past couple of months, but not nearly as frequently because I haven't been exposed.
And how much are these, by the way? Because they're not cheap, right?
Yeah, a box comes with two tests, and I think they run on average. I feel comfortable saying they're about $24 for a box.
Wow. Of two. Okay, and now I don't know about the brand you bought, but the one I brought, there was a little bit of, and this is bad UX because I didn't realize this, mm-hmm. but the two tests are not for two people. The one I bought, the BioNex Now, mm-hmm. you're supposed to take them within 36 hours of each other. So you're supposed to take one, mm-hmm. then 36 hours later, take the second one.
Oh, interesting.
Is that your readout? See, you don't know that either. I didn't know that.
That was new information that you just gave me, which is part of the problem, right?
We should fact check that while we're speaking, because I don't want to, you know, you hear everything and then, mm-hmm. you know, you talk. I'm gonna look this sure. up, because I don't want to give bad information to people.
So you're talking about the BioNex Now, and by the
BioNex Now, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that's kind of like the name brand version of this quick mm-hmm. antigen testing, rapid antigen test. So it's really funny because, you know, a month ago, even 3 weeks ago, I was like a snob for name brand tests, which seems completely ridiculous now.
No, that's the luxury brand like, market is real, Brad, and you are in that, you know, that group. That's your thing.
I mean, I guess so. Like, so they'd have the BioNex test, or they wouldn't BioNex, or they wouldn't. And it's like, you know, I don't want the.
You wouldn't buy the Target Up and Up. No. COVID test.
But over the past 2 weeks, it's like, yeah, you can just give me any kind of Q-tip and say it's an antigen test.
Shove it up my nose.
And, yeah, right. Shove it up there. It's all good. Just give me anything. So that's pretty funny.
Oh, shit.
But anyway, for those listeners who haven't done one of these antigen tests, number one, you should be doing them if you're out in society. That's my read, to be responsible. They're pretty simple, and I'm going to do one right now. Because
look at that, a show and tell.
Right?
Yeah.
So
now, the idea was for us to do different tests, but I could not acquire a test. In fact, we'll talk about my story after you take the test. Or maybe I should do it while you're taking the test, because what else are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you guys need to describe exactly how far.
Wait, now, are you filming video?
I am. Yeah, I am filming video. So if this ever ends
up, I thought we're only filming audio when we get these, because I usually get the audio from you.
Okay. Well, we are recording video.
Okay, good. Because I'm going to want a screenshot for the social media.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
So Dave, like you mentioned, we were going to take these tests together. You couldn't find a test, but you know, you also have your own story. So why don't you tell us that while I'm sticking a Q-tip up my nose?
Yeah. So, okay. So my local community center. So it's like, you know, you, first of all, you go through what you've been used to, right? I mean, tests have been available for a while, and you know, there's a lull there where they were everywhere. You know what I mean? Because, yep. you know, numbers were down and whatnot. So, you know, you look at, that's a great shot. Hold on, hold it. There we go. I had to screenshot it. Good. This is fantastic. That is going on Twitter and Instagram.
And holy shit, the diagram that you sent me is right. I did it the way that you sent me. And holy shit, it's different. I didn't know my anatomy even worked that way. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll talk. Should we talk about that now? Or let's talk about that now before my story, because that's important. So I found something online, like, you know, just Googling, and it was from I don't even remember the source at this point, but our listeners should know, I trend towards or I gravitate towards the science, legit science mags, that, you know, the – I don't even know the name, like NCIHI, FDA, CDC, you know, all that stuff. And then mm-hmm. like your science magazines, or like, what are they called? The journals, the published.
Factual based medical publications.
Yeah. I lean towards facts. So one of them I found was talking about false negatives in the way, and this gets into user design, right? Mm-hmm. How you feeling, Brad? You good? Okay.
No, just a little watery eyes from sticking something really far up my nose.
Yeah, that happens. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. So take some breaths. You want some water? You got some water?
I'm good. Thanks.
You good? Okay. All right. I'm being your nurse, you know, just because there isn't one here.
Right.
Uncle Joe could do that, but he's sleeping in right now. He's traveling. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the user design on this is that the problem is, a lot of these now are administered by the user, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And they just tell you, they give you basic information, they give you the swab, and they're like, shove it up your nose, you know what I mean? And twirl it around.
Right.
So this thing I saw said that there's a lot of false negatives because we're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. So you're not sticking it up mm-hmm. and twirling, right? You've got a, like a lot of the COVID-19, the I don't even know the words to use here, but the
germs,
the shit, the gunk. Yeah. That gets
the gunk
that, okay. That you need to test rests kind of behind your cheeks a little, I guess, okay. I don't know down how far, but so you're supposed to go up. And then what did you just do, Brad? You tried it. You bend.
Well,
kind of tilted towards.
Kind of went straight back.
Yes.
As opposed to up.
Yes.
And that's what this was saying. I didn't know that there was anything to go back into. And what I learned about myself right now is that I can. Like, yeah. I don't have to go up. I can go straight back. And by the way, Dave, just to like, you know, hammer home on your point of misinformation here, can you see that picture from
it's
the instruction box?
What is it? Oh, there it is. Scan QR code with phone.
No. Look at the picture of the nose, the nose diagram.
Oh, it's saying to go up. Straight
it's saying
up?
To go up. So that contradicts what you're reading from your your scientific publication.
I'm going to need to find that scientific publication at some point.
Yeah, we should reference that in the in the podcast notes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a problem, right? So it's like you have a million different people administering this, right? Mm-hmm. Literally a million different people telling tens of millions, hundreds of millions of different people how to do this. So you have a big problem here about just how to administer the test. It seems simple.
Right.
And all this makes me think, you know, I was thinking at the this morning, I was like, wow, wouldn't it be great if they had some type of like breathalyzer or, you know, just an easier test. Mm-hmm. I know for a while there, they had the saliva test, right? That was a thing at some point. Yeah. What happened to that?
Yeah. You know, because there was a test for kids, because in relation to my daughter, she didn't want to have the thing stuck up her nose. So she had a couple that were saliva swabs.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about those in months.
So here, this links to my story. So I went, you know, first I looked on Walmart, Target, CVS, Walgreens, all out, shelves empty.
Sure.
Amazon. Could get me a test in 2 weeks, you know, which is well after when I needed. I had a wedding to go to on Friday, New Year's Eve wedding. And the community center is giving out free tests. You know, the president had announced that they're going to start administering free tests. I don't know if this was part of it. I imagine it had something to do with it, or there's a state level, version of that. But anyway, so I go to the community center on the second day of 3 days that they're going to hand these out, which I knew probably already was my a mistake. Right. So and sure enough. It's great because there's such bad user experience all down the line. Right. I get to this place. I park. I assume it's a walk up. It doesn't say on the social media whether it's a walk up or a drive up. It just says free tests. Come get them.
Right.
So I'm walking up. I see a line of cars wrapped around the corner. Mm-hmm. And I see what I think is a parked car at the beginning of that line.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, I think all these dummies are lined up behind a parked car that will never move. And sure enough, I'm right. I get up there.
Oh, my God.
And there's a parked car, then another parked car, then another parked car, and then a line of at least 40 to 50 cars wrapping around to the next street. So I go up to the first person. I'm like, yo, you know that's a parked car, right? Like that guy's not going to move. And they're like, oh my God. So I walk up, I go to the front door of the community center, and sure enough, plastered everywhere are signs that say all out.
Sure.
It says no more tests. I'm like, so of course it's so close to 9 a.m., which is when they're going to open their doors, that a few of us that were lingering just go, you know what? It doesn't hurt to ask. Right. So we wait till they open. And as we expected, they pop their head out and they're like, yeah, we don't have any more tests. Read the signs. And we're like, okay, we figured we'd ask. And then I turn around and then I talk to the next person in line, because the other guy I talked to had left. And I'm like, hey, you know, that's a parked car.
Now you're going to 50 cars and letting them know that they're idiots.
Well, this point, I just tell everybody, I just do the like one of these signs, you know, like cutting your neck. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no more tests. There's no tests. I'm like shouting out. And then all of a sudden, 50 cars just vanished. Like I single-handedly cleared the line, right?
Good job.
So I get back in my car and I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I'm vaxxed. I'm boosted. Well, actually, I was only a couple days boosted at that point. I'm like, I'll just, you know, just go get bagels. I'll double mask it, grab some bagels and coffee, bring it home to my wife, surprise her, and get on with my day. But then I see, lo and behold, what do I see to my wondering eyes?
Another line.
But a COVID line, And I just jump in it like a dummy. And I'm so anti-herd. You know me. Like, we get out of movies and I see everybody lining up to validate the parking. What do I always do, Brad? I'm like, there's another one down the thing,
right,
or a bathroom that nobody's using.
So you're anti-herd immunity. Got it. Go ahead.
Man, if I was a politician, that'd have been a bad moment for me. So I usually stay away from the herd. But in this instance, trying times, right? Jump into the line. What could it hurt? I could get out.
Yeah.
So I get out of my car, I knock on the window in front of me, and I'm like, do you know what this is? Actually, the person behind me. And that person's like, no. And she's like, I was just in the other line behind a parked car.
Then the person in front of you says, yeah, Harry Styles is up here, and he's signing autographs.
Exactly. I got an autograph, my COVID test.
Excellent.
No, so I asked the person in front of me, and they say it's a testing center, which is great, because I didn't need that to be a vaccine center or anything else. I need a test.
Right.
So it was good. So I sat there. I waited. Oddly, it said Delta 19 testing. I'm like, I didn't know we had. It was just a weird sign. It was dated. I think they just meant it also can test for that. Right. So I sit in this line, Brad. And here's part of the problem is, like, we're told these tests are free, right?
Right.
Or I just don't listen well enough to read the fine print. But
it's free with an asterisk.
Right, exactly. So, you know, and this is part of the problem, not having a central, you know, and this is probably the only point we'll get into politics here, is like having a centralized healthcare system, is that you can't really create a federal solution to this. I mean, there are things you can do, but when all your healthcare centers and all the people talking to each other are not on the same page, it creates a problem, right? So the first obstacle I, as a user, confronted was, I didn't know if I can get this test. I'm going to sit in this line for who knows how long.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, Six Flags where they have, you know, which would be great. I think they should adopt, you know,
right,
waiting time for this ride.
Right.
1 hour and 45 minutes, you know, something like
sure,
that.
Sure.
But the first thing is, I don't even know if I can get it. But I'm, of course, I'm going to wait in it because I need the test because I got exposed. Oh, I didn't preface
this. I was going to say that. I was going to ask if you wanted to get into that.
So, like, So we should get into this.
It's as important.
And this is important because I think a lot of people are just getting tests because they're worried or whatever, but I had a bona fide contact with someone who later called me and said they were COVID positive, both them, them and their boyfriend.
Not just later, but like an hour later.
Yeah, like 2 hours later, they got to their next destination. They're traveling. They're doing one of these travel on vacation things. And the next destination included, you know, like older folks who had tests waiting for them, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so this is important to me because my wife just had surgery. My son and I both haven't been fully, you know, we just got our boosters like days earlier. So we were not fully protected as far as, you know, I mean, we're vaccinated, so we're good. But so I needed to get this test. Plus, I was going to that wedding on Friday. So it's, you know, my own concern for my safety, my family's safety, but I don't want to be the patient zero at a super spreader event. You know
what I mean? I think that is at least equally important, if not more so. So go for it.
So my first thing is like, okay, can I get this test? First thing it says is you need your health kit, you need your driver's license and your healthcare card. And then I asked, okay, well, what about the healthcare card? Like, what if I have the information? They're like, oh no, you have to have the card in hand. They're ready to turn me away. First of all,
that's crazy.
Why would you turn away in the middle of an epidemic? Why would you turn away a pandemic? Why would you turn away somebody who's saying, I may have COVID? I am going to a wedding.
Yes.
You know, let me find out, right? Especially if you have the information. But I didn't argue. I didn't go down that path because it's always a losing path. I just instead did the smarter thing and lied. which is like, what are you going to do at that point, right? Not take the test? Normally, I'm total rules person, but you know, so I was like, yeah, I don't there. She's like, do you have insurance or do you just don't have the card? I'm like, oh, actually I think it lapsed, so I don't have it anymore. So, oh, put your social security. So it's like, what? So it's like, I was about to be penalized for having health insurance.
Wow.
But, and I get it, they're probably trying to get paid by the government, right? I think they get paid by the government if you don't have insurance. So what's
the fact that money is involved here is a real problem. And I get it. The bureaucracy is huge. And, you know, the infrastructure needs of, you know, all these tests, and they're not free. The money has to come from somewhere.
Yep.
The government, right?
Yeah.
And the tracking of all that is difficult. And, who the hell cares? Give people tests.
Right, right. Well, I mean, there should be some caveats to that, right? Like if you're just paranoid and you just want to know and you're testing every fucking day, maybe not. But if you have genuine exposure, like you went to, even if you just went to a big concert, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You're like, wow, I'm kind of worried. Cool. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think there needs to be some level of, but how do you, you can't really, I mean, because people could just make shit up and say, oh, yeah, yeah. My brother has it or whatever.
But. Yeah. I mean, I think that we might have a little bit of a difference of opinion here because I think that people should be able to test freely whenever they want. Anyone who's out there, you know, out there is at risk of being exposed and exposing people. So, you know, I'm, you know, in a perfect world, I think that people should have as many tests as they want at no cost to them.
Yeah. And, you know, testing in general, though, I thought about this today. It's like for the wedding, I think there was like, which still blows my mind, especially in California, four people out of, you know, we're talking about like 100, over 100 people who were unvaccinated, from what I understand. Wow. And they required from them a negative test within 72 hours.
Okay.
Which to me is like, how about a negative test within an hour? Well, you know, absolutely. Like I don't get, because you can test, not have it, have been exposed 2 days earlier. And then by the time you get to the wedding, have it. And be contagious.
Can I give you a quick anecdote about this?
Yes. Give me an antidote.
I wish I could give you an antidote.
Give me an antidote with your antidote, Brad.
All right. So I'm traveling and I go to see my grandfather. My grandfather is at an assisted care facility. He broke his hip. He's doing better. But, you know,
that's good.
I visited him a couple of times at this care facility. The first time that I went, you know, they had really impressive protocols in place. So I had to double mask, I had to wear a face shield, and I had to do this rapid antigen test, you know, immediately on site there, on premise, before they would let me in the door. Like, all right, actually, this sounds great. I'm really happy that they're doing all this for these people. So I go through all these steps, I do the antigen test, negative, see my grandfather, great. And then I go to see him again a week later, Dave. I'm not going to exaggerate. It was 6 days later, and I go in and I see the same woman who gave me the test last week, and she says, "I remember you. You did a test last week. Okay, you're fine."
No. Oh my gosh.
Okay, you're fine. Go on in. What the hell? It's like we're so close to doing the right things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yet we blow it.
We're humans. Details. It's the human factor, man. It's the human factor. Oh, what do we have here? Could this be producer Joe?
Not the producer, but yes, it's me. Hey guys.
Welcome home. Welcome back to Los Angeles, Joe.
We are
guys. Good to see you. Happy New Year.
It is the antidote hour, Joe. And I believe you have an antidote.
I went back home on the 22nd and I was to meet my dad and some other people for dinner on the 22nd. My stepmother was not there.
New Jersey, Jersey. For our listeners. Yeah.
And I was where's
heating up right now, right?
Pretty heavy.
Okay.
But here, I mean, to qualify, I mean, Jersey is very different because South Jersey, you know, where I was in Gloucester County, they were averaging like 400 cases a day, which doesn't sound like a lot. Mm-hmm. But the state overall is heating up because it's so close to New York and the upper northeast, northern parts, you know, just seem to take such a dense hit that it, you know, ups. I mean, just like the population up there is so dense, it ups the average for the whole state. Same thing with this.
Right.
But yeah, when I got there, my stepmother was not at dinner. Where is she? Oh, well, you know, she was exposed to somebody who was exposed. So she went to go take a test. Mm-hmm. That was at 11:30 this morning and we're at dinner at 5. And so literally like from 11:30, she missed dinner because she was there from 11:30 to 5:30 waiting in her car
to get a
test. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's. Wait.
We're not talking about a time zone difference here. You're talking about literally 11:30 to 5:30 New Jersey.
Yes, I landed at 3 o'clock and went straight to a dinner. She never made the dinner because she had been at a testing site from 11:30
waiting in line,
waiting in her car. It was like a kind of a.
Sure.
That's 5 hours. Are we talking 5.5 hours?
6.
Holy shit, that's insane. Okay, I would have given up.
That is
2 hours is my max.
And the last time I was in Jersey in August.
Yeah,
I went to an urgent care because I, you know, I'd been there a week. I'd been out doing a lot of stuff. You know, I'd gone to a Eagles game and, you know, by the end of the week, I was like, I was feeling a little run down.
Yeah.
Before I got on a flight, I thought, oh, I'll just go urgent test. Oh, that was the other thing. I mean, just to get a test, like I went to CVS, they're like, oh, we sell them, but we don't do them. Mm-hmm. Go cross street to Walgreens. Oh, we sell them, we don't do them, but the Walgreens in West Effort does get there. They had a drive through, but I needed an appointment, which I didn't really have time to do. So they're like, you can go down to the urgent care. So now after an hour of driving around, I went to the urgent care, signed in, gave my name, Joe. Before I sat down, they're like, oh, Joe, come back. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Walked right back. They took my test. And the guy who administered the test was like, oh, you were the wrong Joe, but since you're already here, we're not going to re-clean the room. I got lucky because they're like, the guy who was supposed to be me, I think he was probably there for already 2 hours. I completely jumped the line. Oh, no. So, but that's not exactly how it should go, I don't think.
Are you guys seeing my screen? You see my screen?
Yeah, that's our thumbnail for this episode for sure. For our listeners, you've seen this thumbnail already probably on your feed. But, you know, it's a beautiful image of me, my face all contorted with a nasal swab halfway to my to the back of my cerebellum.
As I always say, Brad, speaking of the cerebellum and what's on top is the beautiful locks of hair. Like our listeners, you know, you track very well when we see whose faces they follow.
Sure.
They're always following that, and it's usually the hair.
Yeah, I think it's the hair. Yeah, it's good hair.
Totally the hair.
I like the silver stuff, you know. Silver at this point.
I get it. You know, I just wonder, are you gonna go full white? In a whole other, I mean, I don't know if that's user experience related.
I think people are experiencing me as users if they're lucky.
Indeed. Indeed.
Eventually, we could do a user experience on hair. Dave, you and I could do an episode on hair replacement stuff later on.
I'm not quite there yet, but maybe.
I think we've digressed somehow. I don't know how that.
Yeah, happened. Joe is going to talk about vaccines.
Joe, you got your experience getting
Joe
tested.
Joe went on a rant. He went on a text rant with us, and we didn't entirely understand. So, Joe, you have the floor. Why don't you tell us your experience, and then we will.
It was just, you know what, and this was very specific to Los Angeles, so I don't think this applies to everybody everywhere, but I went to CVS to get my booster shot. I went on a weekend because I had the time, you know, and there was a sign up that said, you know, walk-ins accepted 11 to 3. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, but it wasn't even like I could also make an appointment. It was like they were only doing testing at this CVS via walk-ins from 11 to 3 on weekdays. And I thought that was just a backwards way to do things because a lot of people, I mean, fortunately, I'm flexible enough that I can walk in at 11 o'clock on a Monday, but that's such a bad time for so many people, you know, like right, everybody, if they even have a lunch break, you know, that means everybody's trying to crowd in on a lunch break between Monday and Friday.
Mm-hmm. So they had no tests on the weekend. Walking
basically not
only appointments. Okay.
I don't even know if they had appointments because I went home to try to make the appointment so I could go back, and it was like there was just nothing available.
It was nothing available, but the appointments are that you can make them on the weekends. Okay.
Well,
that sounds a lot less.
Go ahead, Dave.
I mean, I was anticipating Joe coming on here. I was making fun of him because we did in our text, but that sounds a lot more level-headed of an explanation of, you know, I'm on your side in this telling, Joe.
I mean, just with testing and vaccines, if we really want to get this rolled out, I mean, I know there's...
It'd be there's definitely, and it'd be free, right?
I was going to say, there's this anti-vax movement that we're not really ever going to overcome, unfortunately. But at least for the people who want to get tested and vaxxed and do all the right things, it should just be so uber simple. Like, you should be able to walk into a 7-Eleven and... get a boot, you know, like it should just be.
I mean, but these are ideal. These are ideals, right? I mean, there are people involved, right? So we need people to administer these tests. You know, they're getting sick. Right. They're staying home. So I mean, it's not as simple as it sounds. But I think you kind of there's a little Venn diagram here going on, Joe. You mentioned maybe the unvaccinated should all volunteer to administer the tests and the vaccines.
Yeah, there you go. They're clearly not scared of it.
Mask free.
Well, I just heard this stat yesterday that when the pandemic first started in March of 2020, the UK was trying to get 1 million volunteers to help administer tests and like move equipment and do all this other just general work that anybody could do, not like actual medical stuff.
Right.
They got 240,000 volunteers in the first 24 hours and another 750,000 in the next like day or two.
Wow.
So it's like you can mobilize people.
Can we do that here? Is there that's,
I don't know.
Well, that's, I think that we could, like, especially if you look at it through the context of a gig economy, yeah. you know, and we have so many people who are, you know, driving Ubers and doing the Instacarts yeah. and, you know, all the yeah. gig type stuff. This could be another version of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, you know, I've got a free day and I'd like to make $12 an hour. Because yeah. it's better than not. Like, maybe I can go and volunteer.
Joe's talking about volunteer. Get it.
Well, I think you should be paid. I think that these people should right. should be paid something for.
Yeah, either way, I'm just saying. Yeah. yeah, these people weren't even being paid, and the UK got a million people.
I think
how many people are there in the UK? Even there's only like what 80 million people there to begin with. Like a third of what
I think
we
that
have
happened early on. I mean, when vaccines first rolled out, I mean, there was a lot of employees. There were people sitting around looking on their phones. I went to one of these super sites. Yeah. It moved fast. And there was a lot of people, you know, and I even asked them if they needed any volunteers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were, you know, actually right. I was asking if they needed a refrigerator because I right. saw refrigerators. I was trying to get rid of one. They were like, no, right. we're good. So they right. were all stocked on refrigerators, but they needed more volunteers.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so how about I'm going to keep also? This
Yeah. I'm going to keep this episode moving along real quick. And I'm going to, you know, give you guys the results of my,
here
my
we go.
Test.
Here we go. So drum roll. Hold on.
Let's, the adequate amount of time. It's been a little over
let's
that.
Let's do a drum roll. Drum roll, okay. please.
And I haven't seen it yet either. So, you know, this could make for excellent podcasting and very, very bad news for me, you know, if I am positive.
Yeah.
But it'll be good entertainment. So here we go. I'm expecting it to be negative. And all right. So you guys can see this. That is one blue line. Which is a okay. negative result. So according Yay. To this antigen test, which mirrors every test that I've done over the past 2 months, I do not have COVID-19 at this time.
Okay. You are negative or you're having a baby boy, one or the other.
I did also pee on the stick. I don't know if I was supposed to do that.
Fantastic. But just don't use this.
Just to be safe, you know.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
So we've talked about tests. We've talked mm-hmm. about a bit about finding vaccines and how, Joe, you had a little bit of a difficulty getting your booster. But I will say that, you know, in general, it seems like as a society, if you want to be vaccinated and boosted at this point, you have the ability to. Are you guys yeah. comfortable with that?
With a little discomfort and a little confusion. I mean, my yes. booster experience, I took my son, he's 16. Mm-hmm. If you go to, and we could talk about websites now, this is, I think we should switch into the website and the app yeah. situation we talked sure. about, Brad.
Absolutely.
And I'll lead into that with this. I went on a site, I don't even remember, we'll get to this, how I got there, but
yeah.
What's the California website?
Myturn.ca.gov, I believe. Okay.
So they said that, you know, and they made the announcement out of the news and whatever. Anybody over 16 can get the booster, right? Mm-hmm. So I sign up. They ask how old my son is. I sign him up. We go to the local high school that's administering it. God yeah. bless them. Mm-hmm. And they turn him away. They say, oh, only people over 18.
What?
Yeah. And okay. I'm like, and I told the lady, I'm like, look, it says on the, you know, the myturn.gov right here. And she's like, I know. And basically she said, yeah. the pharmacy that we're using mm-hmm. didn't have their paperwork in order for the 16 and over crowd. They only oh, wow. have it for 18. Yeah. So it was like total clusterfuck. Okay. And it's like, you know, people are giving them shit. I mean, I honestly, you know, why would I shoot the messenger? Like, I just thanked her for right. what she's doing
yeah.
and said, I'd try again. And I did. I tried again elsewhere. Yeah. I think we went to like a CVS or a Walgreens and we got my son the booster. But it's like the problem I've been having with these websites and these apps is, for example, I'm a big fan of the CVS app. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever used it, but mm-hmm. getting your prescriptions through CVS, first of all, they're one of the few, not the few, because a lot of people now, one of the first to use like the, and I could be totally wrong about that. One of the first I experienced mm-hmm. using the thumb, the, what's it called? The bio, it's biometric.
Biometric. Yeah.
Sign in, which to me, I used to be afraid of, like when my gym first rolled that out, like 8 years ago, whenever it was, I was like, hell no. But now I'm like, I hate passwords. Hey, two-step authentication is fantastic, but mm-hmm. you know, then I got to copy and paste. It's just a thing. Google does a good job of it because you don't have to copy and paste; it just pops up on your phone. Mm-hmm. But like, they're a great app.
Okay,
but here's where they fail.
Yeah, like,
I hit the big, you know, I hit the button that says, "Oh, schedule a vaccine or a boost or a test or whatever."
Yeah,
testing in this case, and it takes me to a website. First of all, why the hell do I have an app if you're taking me to a website, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you've got all my information in this app. So I moved to the website and some of this might be like health and like HIPAA. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have to enter this information on a secure protocol, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I enter all this information. I get to the point where you could check the testing sites to see if they're available.
Yeah.
And it does this weird thing where it's like, you pick a day and you give it a location and how many miles you want to look in, or actually it doesn't even need miles. Mm-hmm. You give it a location and the day, mm-hmm. and then you have to go down to every site.
Yeah.
Which is filtered by or ordered by location closest to you.
Yes.
You click a red button that says check availability. It says nothing available.
You go to the next one. Every time. Yeah.
Every single time.
I know exactly what you mean.
Every single day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? Like when the people were building this, why didn't they not go, hey, I got an idea because I've seen this on so many other sites. Show me what's available. Mm-hmm. And right. gray out the days and sites that are not available.
Right.
Like, it's just such. Right.
Like searching, it should be like searching for flights. Like, here's what's available. Right.
Exactly.
Totally. And by the way, Dave, this mirrors, you know, I don't use the app, but this mirrors my experience with the Walgreens website. Trying to find a location for my booster was the same thing. I had to go into each location and check their availabilities and days.
So
why in the world? I don't know.
Yeah, it was the same way on like myturn.gov just to find a place because I thought I'd walk into the CVS. I'm like, oh, CVS can't do it here. Where else can I do it around here? Mm-hmm. This CVS, no. This Walgreens, no. Oh, I'll check this. I'll check grocery store. Oh, some Vons do it, some don't. This one says does not. Well, why is it even on the site? Like,
I'll tell you what she was
on there because it's a Vons, but it was like check
I'll
on it.
You
it was
what,
like, we don't even do it here. So
what app is great, but also frustrating, and it's weird because people get like 75% of this right. Mm-hmm. Or in the Walgreens.
That's what's frustrating, Dave, is that we're so close to getting this right.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
So Carbon Health, I don't know if you guys have ever used the Carbon Health app.
I have, yeah.
It's pretty fantastic. Here's the funny thing. I don't even know who they are. I don't know why I'm using them.
Right. Like,
I respond to good user experience and they have great user experience. But where they fail is a couple things. One, they're kind of a conduit to other sites. Like they give me, like you can test here, here, here. They have their own, which is what I don't understand. Like at one point when I was doing the vaccine, like it was all Carbon Health sites.
I can add to that, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just Carbon Health sites. So that was easy.
They were like the first ones who got a big contract or something. You
maybe
know, they,
that's it, yeah.
Something
so,
like that. Anyway.
So when I go to do the booster.
Lovers, not experts.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember whether they didn't have anything or they sent me somewhere else. I think they sent me somewhere else. And I think that's how I started going to the Walgreens and the you know, the other sites, and I found pop-up locations through them. But then what happens is once you switch off from them, then you're in a whole other, you know, you're in a whole other platform, a whole other website.
Right.
And but the upsetting thing there is when you go through the Carbon Health system, you then have on their app your vaccine like barcode and all that stuff, which is awesome, right? So I have all my information in one place, which by the way is something federally I wish they would have rolled out from the get-go, right? Because you would have your vaccine, you have all your information in one place. And I imagine places that have a universal healthcare system, you know, without going into politics too much, you'd have that. And that's all you need.
It's state by state. So California has their version of it. It's good in California. A digital vaccination card is what we're talking about. Yep. But it's for California. Jersey has their own. New York has their own. And it's up to like, you know, the individual institutions or companies, whether they're going to accept and honor my California digital vaccine card. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
They don't have to. Yeah. It's not good. Very bad. Poor UX.
Yeah. And to add to that, I mean, beginning early in the year when vaccines were first started rolling out, we were all like frantically looking for a place to get our first dose. Mm-hmm. Yes, I forget exactly. I guess it was through a Carbon Health link. I found a place up, but it was like 20 miles away, all the way up by like, you know, up north of LA. Mm-hmm. Drove up there. Nobody there. I literally, it was up by like Hanson Dam, like up by.
Yeah. I know that one.
So I went up there, like nobody in line, walked in, got my shot. Great.
Yeah.
Got home. Got like a notice. Oh, you want this on your digital file? Yes, great. So I got that little. So then, you know, Carbon Health sent me to a place where LA County was doing testing because I think that's who signed my card. And then I got a card, a digital card from HealthVana. So all my stuff was on a HealthVana site.
Right.
And then, you know, when I went and got my second shot, same thing, it all worked. The second shot came up on my HealthVana site. It's all on my HealthVana, you know, so a new login to another website, another company.
Right. This is already making my head spin. You just all these different websites and apps and things.
And then when I go get my booster months later, you know, I'm at CVS when I finally did get go, you know, during the 11 to 3 lunch break. You know, I'm like, well, this show up on my HealthVana. Oh, yeah, no problem. It'll be there in like 5 or 6 days. 5 or 6 days. It should take 30 seconds, but whatever. 5 or 6 days go by. I go back, ask the pharmacist. I'm like, hey, maybe you sent it to like the wrong phone number because I have a couple of different phone numbers. Or, you know, she's like, oh, it won't show up on your Healthvana, but what it will if you go to, you know, California County, my vaccination records, and just search. If you just Google it, it'll all be there. So now it's another site, another place, another login. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, it was all there. And then I had to, like, you know, save that to my Apple Wallet. It was like,
I'm going to look now.
Cards and it's like,
if, yeah, I'm going to look now to see if I have it on Carbon Health. By the way, anybody who uses the biometrics, I'm just going to plug because I gave Carbon Health some props, but now I'm going to take them away. And if you have a biometric setup, why do you ask me for my login again? They keep asking me for my login. It drives me nuts. Sorry. That's a little aside. So I'm going to look and see if
I was like, we could do a whole episode on cell phone logins and logins, biometric login.
Oh,
and,
we should, you know. But anyway, I mean, I think that that brings us to really what we're talking about overall in terms of our themes today is like good UX and consistent UX could really help us as a society right now. You know, and where we are is like we have this bifurcated at best kind of system where there's multiple parties kind of like working independently, not cohesively. And, you know, we're now 2 years into this, like almost literally 2 years into this to the day when I first heard the name COVID-19. Is that right? Because it feels like longer than that in some ways. And we haven't really progressed very far.
Almost exactly. It was like very, very early January. Like it was the first time people were whispering about. I mean, it's COVID-19 because it started
we're in 2019, We're in the third movie of this trilogy.
That's right. And there's still where I'd say way behind where we should be. And a lot of it is culture and a lot of it is infrastructure. I think the infrastructure is the most disappointing part. Actually, that's not true. They're both disappointing, but the infrastructure one is solvable. That's the frustration for me is that we know that it's solvable by good design and UX.
It is, but not without people buying in. And that's the problem. I mean,
well, the culture part of it is the second part of it. And that's definitely
I think there was some bad leadership last year, but I think that gets in the way with the infrastructure though, Brad. I mean, like, look how long it took to get an infrastructure bill.
So we should be much further along, you know, that we should not have a shortage of tests right now, 2 years later.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, I was just reading this article in the Washington Post this morning. It says, you know, the nation's public health system remains fractured. And I think that's part of the problem. And without delving too much into the politics, you know, when you have, I mean, democracy's great. State rights is great.
State sovereignty.
State sovereignty is great. But the problem is, you know, you get a fractured healthcare system. And one of the things they're talking about in this, and it blew my mind. Let me see if I can find the quote. I mean, I'll just sum it up for you so I don't have to search for it. But they're talking about like people are at some sites faxing the data or faxing the results. It's like, what the fuck? I can, my daughter could make her look like a princess or like in space. You, Brad, you have put your face on Bruce Willis in a movie right on your phone. Your new Google can erase the background objects that you don't want on the fly. But we have people sending very important information in the middle of a pandemic via fax.
So I can go into this in a little bit of detail. So they have these facilities. These are regional sort of testing and vaccination facilities. They're in some cases almost mom and pops kind of organizations. Some of them are run by churches even.
Brett, let's back up here. You're speaking from a informed kind of situation, right? You have a
going into too much detail. I did do some work dealing with outreach and data related to COVID treatment over the past couple of years. And it's been really shocking. So, you know, my day to day has been looking at this data and trying to like, you know, distill meaning from it and communicate it out to the government, actually. A lot of it has been, you know, really reliant upon getting data, right? Getting data from a church organization in Missouri who's treating people, right? From a little, you know, medical facility in Alabama that's treating people. There is no national infrastructure for how this reporting and data and even information is communicated, which is wild. So in some cases, you know, your little mom and pop, you know, church organization is going to fax data because that's how they do things. That's how they've done it for 30 right. years. It's absolutely insane. So it's I think a failing of our society and our, you know, and the national healthcare system and lack of a national healthcare.
I was going
to
say
our resistance. Hang on, and our resistance to having a national healthcare system because of state sovereignty and all that. To get a little political,
freedom.
So you don't need any of that stuff until you need it, right?
Right.
I get it.
Right.
I understand the argument, but when you get to a national pandemic, it's like, oh fuck, we should have had that all along. Right. Of course, we should have.
And that's why I say the culture is you you can't tear those two apart. Like that's the problem. We can't get there without
achieving. And I agree with you. And I think that this is, you know, to tie it back into user experience design, right? I think that is an opportunity where we could, you know, impact this positively by having clear communication and clear user experience and data availability and just information, which is again. Information architecture is user experience related, right? Yeah. We can have clear information that is digestible, and that's the important part this country. So clear information written not for medical professionals, but for my great aunt who doesn't know anything and doesn't care. I actually don't have a great aunt, so I'm just making that up. Yeah. But, you know,
you do somewhere.
You don't know
about her.
Not that I know of. I guess so.
We're going to have that reveal next episode. It's a big episode, everybody.
Because there has been such a clusterfuck of information and discrepancy for information. Even looking at the CDC website, you know, I did this several times over the last week, trying to find clear guidance for, you know, well, this person is exposed, so they're not coming, but this person was in a room with that person who was exposed. Yeah, so what does that mean? And, you know, I've looked at this information on the CDC website recently, and I read it one way, and then another person reads it completely different. And I know that I'm right, right?
Yeah. Where are the infographics? Where are the info? You know, you're right. Yeah. No, Brad, wait, let me stop you. You bring up a good point because I assume, you know, I throw up my hands and I say, it's the culture. That's the problem. We're never going to get through this. We don't have a universal healthcare system. Like there's no way. But you bring up a good point that it being user experience related and, you know, if we, you know, back to that line, if you build it, they will come, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's an opportunity out here for all of you listening to build that, you know, that super app, right? Or build that information architecture, you know, that system that allows all this data to be collected and cleanly. And I know this is like big thinking, right? I don't even know what this means. Again, not experts, lovers, but if you build the super app, you build the way to collect the data, then you go to the government, right? And maybe then we can start getting this shit together. And there is one app that the CDC can say, go to, you know, bradsgothisshittogether.com.
Yeah. You know? Right.
So I don't know. That's,
you know, one super app that would basically be like users can find a place to get tested.
Yes.
We'll track their data, send it back to one place. So you're so we have an accurate accounting of people who, you know, that's something else to talk about too, though, is like with home tests, then we lose a lot of like the tracking of like,
if you have the ability to connect it to that app, not to that's the true. Individual right. Bionex right. app or the Abbott app, or you know what I mean? Like there's so many.
Exactly. So we need to like, you can almost just like scan a barcode on the back of your.
Right. And then it's uploaded. And then you have super data. You have so much data because you're losing all that data at home tests. Like nobody knows that I'm, you know, that I'm. And there's all these other things. Like, I don't know. You guys do this. The LA has a thing. They check every Thursday to see if I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I've been doing it for like a year and a half. Right. Like, what is that? What's the point of that? Like, is that supposed to be contact tracing? Like, I don't know. Brad's got to say.
For the listener, I just researched whether bradsgothisshittogether.com is an available domain, and it is. I can buy it for 0.01 cents.
Let's do it.
I am not going to do that. So that domain is free and clear for our
listeners. If anybody wants to put it together as a fan site for, Sucks, I can't even, what is the name of our podcast?
The Sucks Podcast.
The Sucks Podcast.
So,
where are we, how are we going to wrap this up? I think we're going along here, guys.
I was just saying, I think the one thing we could wrap up with is, I don't know if it's really user experience, but there was some mention that they were going to start rolling out half a million or 500 million tests, like to ship them out to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
this was news last week from the Biden administration that they announced that they were going to make more testing ubiquitous. Right. Now, they've already kind of caveated that and backtrack a little bit, you know, which is unfortunate.
but par for the course for them. But also it's like half a, what were they saying? Like 500 million. That's enough for like one in 10 people to test once. We need, would need billions, because you need to test like every other day. You need everybody to test every other day consistently. Well,
if you think about it as supplemental to the existing tests that are out there, you could buy or you could go to your healthcare clinic.
That was a good one too. Like, oh, they were going to pass this thing where if you bought a test, you could chase it down. You could chase down a reimbursement through your insurance company. Nobody good luck with that. Talk about that user experience.
Yeah, and we talked about that when we talked about my trip to the, because I was like, I wasn't even sure if I'm supposed to pay for this because I thought these were all free.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I do get a bill, I mean, you know, it's not the best user experience, Joe, but you can not pay those.
Remember in August when I got up credit, over $150 for
I think it's over 1,000 where they start hitting your credit. So we don't condone this. I've heard about people doing that.
Oh, I absolutely condone it. I wish that we were netting out at a more positive place, but there is an opportunity to have better resources, better organization for these resources, and, you know, better design to promote, you know, better and more adoption of it. So that's an opportunity, and I'm surprised that we haven't got there already, but I still think that it's a need. And the last thing I want to say about this is that we have continued to underestimate COVID-19 every step of the way. So the fact that we entered this holiday season without enough sufficient testing is a policy failure. The fact that that happened and was a surprise, that is not acceptable.
Yeah. Well, I think we've talked about the solution. I mean, it really does come down to having like a central database, easier information. I mean, things that really are user experience, easier testing, easier vaccinations, like just things should be easier to find. They should be more prevalent. They should be easier to use. User experience. Things should just be more, you know, ubiquitous, consistent. So
go to bradsgothisshittogether.com and sign up for the app. tests.
I think we should wrap up with some moments of UX bliss. As a little palate cleanser. Does anyone have any good UX experiences that they want to bring to the table this week? I have a couple, if not.
I had one. You know what's funny is I laid in bed, Brad, and I thought about this, and I'm like, am I truly a negative person? Because I was sitting there for four, you know, that lull when you're laying in bed and you don't want to get out of bed, like a good half hour, 45 minutes. This was on my mind, and I thought of something, and I've now forgotten it. So I think the problem is, like, the thing with good UX, and this is what this part of the episode is all, I mean, this part of the show is always hard for me, because good UX, it's like good, any type of good design, you don't notice it, right? Because it works so well, right? Oh, here, I got it. I remembered it. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So it's buying movie tickets, right? And it's funny because I told you guys, like, I have a lot of bad experience with buying movie tickets, because as a lover of cinema, and sometimes expert, I want the best experience, right? Like, if I'm paying for a movie, I'm not watching it, I'm not streaming it, right? I want the biggest screen. I want the best seats. I want, and there's no way to kind of figure that out on all the Fandangos and whatever. There's no, I don't, or maybe I haven't explored enough, judging by your facial expression here, Brad, but I don't know, like, I don't have enough information to make a good decision about buying a ticket, because that now matters. And in the past, it didn't matter. Maybe for some people, they're like, I just want to see the show. I just want to have a good place in the theater.
I think, you know? I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think what you're describing is, like, you want maybe the option to pick your ideal seat and see your options around that, rather than picking theater by theater by theater and looking at the seat option.
Exactly. Because what happens is sometimes I'll find a theater, because it's based on time, and it'll be this tiny little screen. They'll at least show me the screen, and I'll be like, I have no idea the dimensions of that screen, because I've gone to these little theaters and been like, wow, this is about bigger than my TV at home. Yeah. This sucks.
You know? I mean, you could kind of gauge it from the number of seats in the theater, but it should just say it. It should just have all the information, like
size of the screen.
90 seats, exactly. 100 inch screen.
So that's the bad user experience.
Dolby 5.1, whatever.
And it led me thinking
about
my
friends at Fandango hear this, because I do have a bunch of friends who work for Fandango.
So there you go.
They're hearing this.
I want them to hear this and add this information. Anyway, this leads me to my good user experience. Google has done this thing now I don't know how long they've been doing it, but it popped up on my phone one day when I was searching for movie tickets, where the assistant is taking over in the process. So a thing will pop up and it'll ask me where I want to buy the tickets from. And then Google will lead me through the whole experience without leaving that search screen. Mm-hmm. And it will say, like, I'll pick my seats and everything, and then it'll pay for it, and then I'll be done. And I love that. I think it's great. I mean, it has its flaws, and a lot of it have to do with the underlying sites that it's going to, yeah, and that I don't have a lot of information and I have to pick screen by screen by screen until I'm happy. And maybe I'm just a very picky moviegoer. So for most people, this is probably a very good addition to the Google, because they're doing a lot of things like you don't have to wait on the phone, like the assistant will wait for you and call you back, you know, if you're waiting on hold for a long time.
Yeah.
Like it'll set a reservation for you through the Google Assistant. Mm-hmm. So everything they're doing with Google Assistant, it's a little creepy, but it's a lot of awesome.
Right.
So that's me. I took up a lot of time. Sorry, Brad.
No problem.
Go.
Joe, do you have anything? No pressure.
I mean, I was basically on vacation this week, so I wasn't really interacting with a lot of stuff. I will say that, you know, American Airlines digital boarding passes are great. I mean, they always are. You know, you just email, download the wallet right through. And TSA PreCheck always is the way to go. I mean, that user experience is amazing. You know, just walk through the line and you're done.
Nice.
Advice to any traveler, it's worth $100 to just go through it.
Well, great. Well, I have two that I can talk about. The first is an old one, but, you know, I have a daughter who's, 8 years old now. And we've been using this programming language for kids called Scratch.
I know Scratch.
So, you know, that's been around since, I think it went public in over 10 years ago. It's not
my kids,
new.
My kids used it.
Yeah, it's not new, but I've been exploring it with my daughter and she's super into it and she's making her own, little video game. And, you know, I'll tell you guys that I kind of had some qualms about, you know, some of the terminology using that's being mm-hmm. used, mm-hmm. like, you know, with STEM and teaching kids to code and all that. Yeah. Like, well, are we really? Or is it drag and drop? You know what I mean? Like, is it really teaching kids to code? And the answer is kind of
fundamentals. Yeah, it's fundamentals, building blocks.
Now, having used it with her, it's like, there's no negatives here. This is all positive.
Right. Yep.
So that was a good experience to go through with her, and to see that kind of like, you know, programming, at least programming logic, being kind of emphasized. And then the second one, which I think is a big one to maybe tee up for another podcast topic, is Xanax. So I've used Xanax over the past week.
Xanax, the drug Xanax. Tell our users. I mean, pretty much everybody knows, but some people don't. What is Xanax?
Well, I mean, I think that 100% of our listeners and anyone would agree that the holidays, holidays can be stressful, and we're dealing with a lot. a lot of us, all of us are dealing with a lot, and I am not unique in that regard. So, you know, I've been, you know, dealing with some anxiety in my personal life for the past while. And, you know, over the holidays, these past couple of weeks, it's been real bad. You know, I got a hold of some Xanax. I used it and it was effective and it improved my quality of life. So, So I believe that should tee up like another conversation that we have around mental health. And user experience of mental health. I think that would be a fantastic topic for this podcast.
Write that one down.
I think we should find some guests maybe who have used like the Better Health, like, because there's so many being advertised, right? Like digital, like telehealth, telemental health.
Yeah, no, I could talk about this at length.
So this will be a great topic for another day. I'm looking forward to having that discussion. But, you know, just a brief shout out to Scratch programming language for kids and to Xanax for just fucking working. And with that, I think that we've done it, gentlemen.
Amen. Cool. All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to Sucks. We're wishing you health and a well-designed life and good experience.